Recovery 101. Guaranteed so much fun. From the Tombstone Studio, two gals and a crazy bro. Listen, download, and play again. Share the show with all your friends. No need to be feeling blue. The mandate here is Rule 62. Laugh along with the boozy news. The news that's not fit for booze. So come on and join the fun. From Tombstone, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen, it's Recovery 101. That was a microphone I was singing into. Turns out it was a cacti.
Thank you to the Monty Man for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 1 does not speak for AA. NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAFA or any of them there, guys. We are broadcasting tonight from the brand new Terminally Unique Studios in Terminally Unique Tombstone, Arizona, where would you say we have a view from the studio?
It's pretty rad.
Yeah,
it is definitely awesome.
Yeah, we can see what was that song? I can see for miles and miles.
Oh, nobody knows that song, Bruce.
Shelly, do you know that song?
I know that song. I just didn't feel like chiming in on that one.
I sing that song in the shower quite a bit. Yeah.
Do you?
No.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Shelly.
Tara.
Dan, Jeremy.
And I don't want to...
That was my phone.
Wait, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I could have sworn moments ago I saw Tara deep-throating her mic, looking at her husband. I saw it.
She does that in the shower also.
Whoa. Jeez, wait, PG that. Here. PG.
This is the internet. It's the internet. Porn
there's
is free
no rating
on the internet.
On the internet.
No, there's not. Although, on Podomatic, you're supposed to select whether something is accessible for all ages.
We didn't cuss. Nobody cussed.
That's right. We didn't. This is Bruce with Recovery 101 Radio. Recovery 101 Radio is brought to you in part by the new CoolFMOnline.com. Amazing music variety from the 50s through today in pop, rock, country, and more. Download this app to the Google Play or Apple Store now by putting in CoolFM Online in the search engine. You can also go to CoolFMOnline.com. Cool classics, hot variety. So, Shelly, what's been going on?
Other than my massive allergy attacks, we moved.
I was going to say, nothing else happening lately? Didn't get a new house or move into it?
We moved. I spent the last 4 days cleaning cupboards and drawers out and putting paper down. Oh, okay, I got a beef to pick with Walmart.
Oh, that's not what I thought the beef was going to be.
Oh, boy.
So when you go in and you want shelf paper.
Middle class
it's
problems.
All, yes, I know. Total first world problem.
She gets all dressed up to go to Walmart.
My son works for Walmart. They have done wonderful things for him. I'm not, but please.
Lower middle class problems.
You need to, hey, he makes decent money and he's got benefits. Where was I going with this? Oh, so I go in and I ask the lady in the housewares department where the shelf paper is. Do you have any regular shelf paper? Because it's all that contact sticky downy crap, and I don't want that because I want to...
Really?
I want to be able to change the paper out easily whenever I want, right? I grew up in a household where my grandma, my mom, everybody just put down butcher paper in the shelf. And then after a year, you know, well, you just take the paper out and it's clean, all new clean paper. And she didn't know what I was talking about. What's butcher paper? Well, like the stuff you get at the deli when they wrap up the meat. Oh, well, we don't have that. Yes, they do. It's in the craft department. And then I went back to tell her, and she said, well, that's not butcher paper.
Right, because
and I'm like,
it's not
the same thing. It's brown paper.
You know what? I hate to be devil's advocate, but I got to side with Walmart on this. Butcher paper is the stuff they wrap meat with.
But that's called butcher paper. It's the same brown stuff.
You're thinking of poster paper?
No.
Like the stuff you put behind your pictures and stuff like that. That's probably what that is.
I don't think anybody heard that.
No, it's probably the stuff you put behind your pictures and stuff, right?
Well, I'm just a little annoyed that they didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I feel like you're kind of talking about like the cheap paper that they would have us draw on, like in kindergarten and
that's
stuff, like
paper.
In the big rolls. Okay, so here's the deal, Shelly.
It's school.
She bought
it's 2019
paper.
Okay, and we use contact paper now because it actually stays down.
Yeah, but it sticks. I don't want it to stick.
Well, it stays in place that way. Okay, so maybe you should just reuse like some paper bags or something and cut those up.
If you want
to do a throwback, like we can do a throwback.
No,
but
you know what she did?
Here's the drawers.
She bought wrapping paper
at Family Dollar for the dresser drawers. Because I ran out of butcher paper.
Wrapping paper.
Like Christmas wrapping paper?
Well, I'm glad it wasn't regular. Christmas wrapping paper.
Like princess birthday wrapping paper?
No, it wasn't princess.
You know what would be awesome, though, is if
it
I went
in. Spaceman's on it.
Ninja Turtles.
If I went in to get, like, socks or something, it was, like, into the Spider-Verse, I'd be like, all right.
It was just for the drawers. You could use wrapping paper. That's fine.
The Grand Bumper Snoot would like that.
I'll be like, you know what? Yes. I'll be looking in my drawers. I'm like, who the fuck is Peppa Pig?
Peppa Pig.
Whatever. Like salt and pepper.
You have to say it in English accent. It's Peppa Pig.
Oh, look, apparently I caught them all. Look, there's
or
Pokemons everywhere.
Did you know that there was actually a thread on Facebook I saw once about like all these women chiming in about how their kids suddenly have an English accent because they watch Peppa Pig like obsessively?
That's hilarious. Hello,
so they've got their three-year-olds with English accents.
That's hilarious.
That is hilarious. Hi, mother. How are you doing?
So
what about like Angelina Ballerina?
Mother's like such a bird.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Mother's such a bird.
Briefly.
It was cute.
So what are Jeremy and Tara doing?
Yes, what have Jeremy and Tara been up to? Didn't you just go to like a thing?
Yeah, so I went to the All Fellowships.
I know what Jeremy's
camp.
Been doing. He's been over
helping
here helping
move.
Me move.
Yeah. Yeah, so last weekend I took the boys from work. I took a group of 9 of them along with a coworker, and we went to Roosevelt Lake, which is about an hour north.
Is that where Rich went?
About an hour northeast of Phoenix. Yeah. Yeah. So
did he take you out on the boat?
He did. He took myself and 3 of the kids out on the pontoon boat. He was
awesome.
The only person that caught anything.
Of course. He's
Other than a sunburn. I definitely caught a sunburn, and so did like 2 of the other kids. But we had a really good time. So
remember when you used to go fishing and you took a bunch of beer with you and you could always, at least you'd catch a buzz? Yeah.
Actually, you know, I never really did go fishing until I got sober. Whenever Jeremy and I got together, that was when I really started fishing all the time. And I had my first fishing pole and stuff like that. I mean, I learned whenever I was little, but my dad wasn't a fisherman.
Shelly went fishing on our honeymoon, and we were by the Channel Islands off of the coast of California.
Wow.
And these guys are talking about the world record great white shark. They're like, oh, yeah, I was caught right over by this island over here. And Shelly is terrified of sharks. And the guy's like, yeah, it was 25 feet. You know, it was like 27 feet long and 25 tons. And Shelly's like, punk. The guy's like, oh, yeah, take a chunk out of the back of this boat. And Shelly's like, oh, my God.
Okay, get me out of here.
No, but the great part.
I got hooked on fishing a long time ago when I was little. We used to go fishing down Louisiana, Chaffly Basin and up in the port of the Gulf of Mexico and stuff like that.
We had my dad and I would go fishing. Like, there's not a lot of fishing in Southern California, but we'd go up in this one canyon, Azusa Canyon. And if you didn't catch anything at the bottom of the canyon, there was this place called Happy Jack's. And Happy Jack's had, like, these 4 ponds. It had, like, the pan-sized pond, gigantic, and you could fish. And, like, no matter what, you threw anything in the water, you'd hook something. It's like all these trout in there were, like, starving. And then you paid for them by the pound. So
yeah, like a pay.
We would always catch fish no matter what, because even if we didn't catch them in the wild, we'd go to Happy Jack's. And you could literally use a cane pole with a thing with a hook on the end and like this weird power bait they had.
Jeremy
needs
to.
Real selfish a long time ago. So in Arkansas,
not lately at all.
No, but I'd noticed that I was very selfish a long time ago, because me and my brother weren't catching anything when we went fishing on my grandpa's boat dock. So we had this big fish fry like every Friday. He was like the mayor of the boat dock. So I said, all right, Jason, I know where we can go catch some fish. Over by the marina, the guy that owned the marina would feed these fish. It was like his pet fish. He had like 7-8 pound bass.
like in the middle of this arena, in this poles in. We pulled out all these fish. We brought over to my grandpa. He starts frying them up. So then the guy from the marina comes over and goes, "Hey, I saw these two boys there fishing. I want my fish back." I was like, "Oh, okay." My grandpa, he's just completely
like, "Here you go.
Upset.
They're on a plate."
"Here you go. Which one do you want?"
"Yeah, they're barbecued." Well, we had a friend. Tell him about Fausto.
Well, the guy that took all of the chlorinated water out of his pool so that he could put his bass in there.
He would go out and catch bass at a lake and throw them in these construction buckets full of water. And he took them home and he put them in his pool at home so he could fish in his backyard.
Yes.
Saving up for the apocalypse.
And he had, dude, he had this, like, I don't know, like 150-gallon tank or something, and he would put bass in it, and he would take all his different lures and drag them through the water to see how the bass react to them. And he was like you were talking about with Rich. We went down albacore fishing and yellowtail fishing off the coast of San Diego. A bunch of people in the program. We chartered a boat. He's the only one to get a yellowtail. The only guy on the boat. We went in by the islands. Everyone was catching bass and stuff, but he's the only one that caught a yellowtail. So, by the way, Shelly.
Yeah. We're
right time. We got to do it this time. Oh, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Well, that, you know what? Not too shabby.
I wasn't too bad.
Hey, not bad for your first dudes.
We're going to let you guys know that either us
the
or...
The young'uns have decided we don't need dudes anymore.
Either us or someone else. Now...
The dudes are over, dudes.
This is almost 2020.
Now, we do need to talk about something.
What?
Which I did not... I haven't written a script for it yet, which I need to do. But we brought on a new sponsor, which is CoolFMOnline.com. And you can go. They play 55 minutes of music. Now, the guy was – I was talking to the guy and I'm like, "Well, you know, what kind of music do you play?" And he's like, "Oh, we've got like – the greatest hits of all time." And I'm like, "What genres?" And he's like, "Well, you know, rock and this and that, and a little bit of country." And I'm like, "Rap and hip-hop?" He's like, "Nope."
Well, then that's not all the genres.
It's all the important ones.
I would take issue with that.
What, are you going to get all Nipsey Hussle on me? Someone's going to shoot you?
No, okay, that was like too soon.
I don't even know who he is.
He's my coworker.
So does it have the genres listed there?
Oh, my bad.
What's it got on there?
Pause. Hold on for a second.
Read it to us. We'll give him extra shout out time here because since we don't have an actual script for it right now, but you guys should definitely go check it out. You can get it from anywhere in the world, and that's a cool thing. I'm going to test to see if you can get it behind the Great Firewall of China.
Okay, your total at work station. Give us an hour and we'll give you history in your ears. Featuring 55-minute music hours of the greatest hits of all time. We play lots of the 80s, plus the top hits from all other decades and today's best artists. Playing over 2,000 songs from the 50s to today in pop, rock, country, and more, giving you real variety like no other.
Sweet.
Here's what we offer. 1, more music with 55 minutes guaranteed every hour.
That's 2, really good.
Yeah,
that's
really good. 2, the best variety of songs from the beginning of rock and roll of the rock and roll era to the best of today's artists. 3, the highest quality of internet sound provided by Stereo Tool Technologies. 4.
Ooh, we need that.
Right? Yeah. 4, only 2 commercial breaks each hour at a 2-minute max. We also feature the greatest one-hit wonders of all time at about 50 past each hour. It's the largest collection of one-hit wonders on radio.
Show me the way.
No. If that
I wasn't a one-hit wonder.
That sticks. That's not a one. Sticks is not a one-hit. But you know who is? Aha. Uh-huh. Take on me. I'm not gonna do it because I can't.
Take on me.
Yeah, because I can't get. My Sharona. Jinx, you owe me a soda.
Okay, are we ever going to...
Oh, yeah, it's time for the boozy news.
That was the first piece of the boozy news.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Our new sponsor.
Well, I actually have another plug for a book, and I'm going to do it again. I think I did it on the last show. A book called If You Love Me by Maureen Cavanaugh. If you are a family member of an addict or loved one, the book is excellent. Over the years.
Let me tell you, if Shelley says a book is excellent, that means it's excellent.
Over the years, we have had dozens of books and links to ebooks and things sent to us by addicts that I'm going to write my story, and then they do. 9 times out of 10,
they're not writers.
I get through the first chapter and I'm like, holy crap, I'm going to die if I have to read the rest of this book. Because they're, and I don't want to downplay, which is why I'm not going to name names. I don't want to denigrate anybody's experience.
Oh, name names, please.
But not everybody can write a book. Everybody says, I should write a book. No, you really shouldn't. However, Maureen Cavanaugh, who started back east, she's got a whole network now of resources for the families of addicts. She wrote a book, If You Love Me, which is about her daughter's, she and her daughter going through her heroin addiction. And it is phenomenal. And I think it will continue to be an excellent emotional resource for families of addicts for years to come. I even gave the copy they sent me when I was done with it. I gave it to our friend Michael, who counsels a lot of families. He said, you should probably read this book because it might be really helpful for you. So
Cavanaugh was upset because she went through the heroin addiction with her daughter, and her daughter did all her heroin. Is that what it was?
No, she wasn't the addict.
Her daughter
was. Right. I'm going to smack you.
I'll do it. We're not related. It's not domestic if I do it.
No, it's
See,
just,
I learned a lot through my addiction.
It's just plain assault. That's what we call that, plain assault.
What is on fire here?
Additional cigar paper.
Holy guacamole.
Smoking the reefer.
Okay. We have shout outs too.
We're not supposed to do that, are we?
No, not anymore. Not today.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad I didn't.
Colleen, Taryn, Bill.
Taryn?
Taryn.
Taryn.
T-A-R-Y-N. Bill.
Yeah, Taryn.
Todd, Fran, Damon, Neil, Georgette, Lee, Greg, Marie, Lori, Faith, Monty, and Elizabeth.
Sweet.
Dude. Okay, first story. I found this, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and I hung on to it in my bookmarks because I thought it was funny. In Middlesex Township, Butler County, which is in Pennsylvania, police arrested 44-year-old Daniel Sober.
I'll bet he wasn't.
Bet he wasn't. A DUI.
Daniel Sober for a DUI.
Sober, damn it.
He didn't want his girlfriend to drive because she'd been drinking. So he took her and dropped her off where she needed to be, which was the parking lot of the Holy Sepulchre Catholic School. And as he was pulling out of the parking lot, he got pulled over for weaving and was given a breathalyzer test and was drunk. And I just thought that was funny because his last name is actually Sober.
And also, whenever you said Pennsylvania, you kind of almost sort of did it in a Pennsylvania Dutch accent. And then you said he was weaving. So just the whole thing all together was really great.
Well, I'm having a huge allergy attack today, so who knows what I'm going to sound like.
Well, you know what? I'm telling you, you should not do that much cocaine before the show.
I know that's what it sounds like. It sounds like I've been snorting cocaine.
At least share, Shelly. You know that's my favorite.
Nobody shares? What kind of an addict are you? Jeez.
Shelly would never do that, any kind of drug, because it's illegal.
I'll hide it from you, Shelly. I'll help you.
Yeah, I'll help you look for it.
Don't worry.
I think you lost it. I'll help you look for it, though.
Okay, the second story is Raphael Samuel, a 27-year-old man from India.
India.
He's going viral because he believes in something. I don't know if he made this up or if it's a new movement or whatever. It's called antinatalism. And he's suing his parents for giving birth to him without his consent.
I heard about that.
He said, they had me for their joy and not for mine.
You know what? So, that's a whole new level of dumb there.
Now, interestingly enough, he's not really that worried about his lawsuit, even though both of his parents are lawyers. And his parents said that he can go ahead and sue. I don't think he's going to win because unless he can tell me how we could have gotten consent from him before he was born, then I'll take it seriously.
I saw a lady one time on Dr. Phil, and she was probably, I think, in her 20s, and she said something very similar. She's like, well, my parents have to take care of me. They had me, and how do they know that I wanted to be alive? And I'm thinking,
That's a level of entitlement.
You're joking,
that,
right?
Is that the same girl that said, catch me outside? Was that
catch me
how
outside?
About that? No.
Have you guys seen the video
bad
that she
baby?
Put?
Danielle Bregoli? No. No. Purposely don't watch her stuff. If any of you do, that's your
who
thing.
Is it?
But Danielle
catch
Bregoli.
Me outside, girl.
Catch me outside. How about that? That girl from Dr. Phil.
Never heard
yes,
of her.
Yes, you have. Because she, we watched that one video because it was so horrible.
I'm pretty sure that she went. Okay, I know that she went to Woods, which a lot of the boys that I work with, they go to Woods, right? So for anybody that doesn't know, Woods is like this thing where they take you backpacking and hiking, etc. You have to make your own fires.
I want to go to
and,
Woods.
Actually, I have a lot of guys that say the ranch sucks. I'd rather go back to Woods.
Well, because probably in Woods, they don't make you do as much stuff as they make you do at the ranch.
Well, yeah, and we have like some particulars. You know, there are different specific rules that we have that wouldn't be applicable in Woods. Like, take your hat off in the building kind of
in
stuff.
In Woods, you know? In Woods are like, hey, guys, we're going out to collect mushrooms. The guys are like, can
they
I please
wish.
Go to Woods?
Right. Yeah, no.
But so she, I know that she went to Woods, and I'm pretty sure that she went to a place called Turnabout Ranch, not to be confused with the place that I work, but that's only a 3-month program, I think, Turnabout Ranches. And her mom was like, she's off the rails. She needs to go get help, you know. And then she gets out of Turnabout Ranch, leaves Turnabout Ranch, and all of a sudden she's like banging rappers and like making rap videos and all kinds of stuff. And now that she's rich, her mom doesn't care what she does or that she acts like an idiot. So
of course not.
That's
because she's
awesome.
Is she a Kardashian?
Awesome parent. Awesome parenting. No, but you would think.
But she could be.
Money solves everything, right?
If her mom was a little bit smarter, she might be a Kardashian. Still waiting on the sex tape. She's still underage.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Well, R. Kelly is available. I saw a meme the other day where R. Kelly is sitting there and R. Kelly's looking over at Jesse Smollett and goes, hey, man. Hey, Jesse, could I get the number to your lawyer, please?
Okay. I don't know if we've already done this one, but it was so funny. I think we should do it again.
Does she like to be peed on, though? That's the important thing with R. Kelly.
I've moved on.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we can poll people about that. Plenty of people that know her.
I don't know if we've done this one already, but I think it was funny, so I want to do it again just in case.
Just in case.
In Wichita, Kansas, at the Wichita Home Depot store, the SWAT team, 911, was call went out, and there were many, many, many cops, some in bomb gear. A gentleman went into the restroom. What?
I don't know if we did it on the show, but I definitely heard this from you.
Gentleman went into the restroom at the Home Depot and told everybody, y'all better clear out. I'm about to set off a bomb. And the people that were in the men's room ran out, told the manager of the Home Depot that there was a gentleman in there that had made a bomb threat and was about to blow up the Home Depot. The Home Depot evacuated the building, called the cops. The guy comes out of the bathroom, and the place is crawling with cops. He meant he was about to...
He was about to
lay
dump
a giant
loaf.
Turd.
Oh, my goodness.
People are just a little too sensitive these days.
Good Lord.
I just thought that was amusing. It amused me. I don't know about anybody else, but it amused me. During the cold snap this winter in Indiana, in Noblesville, the police department put out a Facebook post that says, all crime and illegal activities in Noblesville and the surrounding areas are prohibited until further notice due to the cold. If you fail to comply with this notice, there's a possibility of a fine or jail time. Then they said that when the temperature rose, they would notify residents that it was safe to commit crimes again.
Did it lower the crime rate?
I don't know.
I'll bet it did. Shit, we got like 5 inches of snow here. They shut down the army base. I'm like,
we got
really?
8 inches of snow.
Please stop
really?
The crime immediately.
I'm like, really? You shut down Fort Huachuca for that much snow? I'm like, really? Aren't you the guys that protect us and stuff? You guys can't.
They can't go to drills.
You know what?
In 5 inches of snow.
You know what?
Really?
I went
We're
to work.
Doomed.
Well, look, they called snow day.
Yeah, before
for the
it even
schools.
Snowed.
And Shelley's like, I used to live in Wisconsin, and
no,
there was
I lived in Minnesota.
Or Minnesota.
Minnesota.
And it was like snow day every day, and they had to go. It'd be like 3 feet of snow. You'd see the top of kids' beanies going through the snow.
Yeah. We'd all be standing in front of these giant snowbanks with our snowsuits on, our arms stuck out to the sides because you can't put your arms down because there's, you know, they're too fat. And we're all hopping up and down going, hurry up, bus, bussy, bussy, hurry up, bussy, bussy, hurry up, because we're all freezing our butts off. But there was no snow day.
Yeah, other states don't know what that is.
Mm. It was only a snow day if the windshield wipers on the bus couldn't go fast enough for them to be able to see through the blizzard.
Oh, that! Yeah, I would love to ride in a school bus in a blizzard, because you know that Jim, who's driving the bus, is all loaded. He's like, "Don't worry, this snow ain't bad.
Just need a nip to stay warm." Okay. Finally, Bill sent this in, a story of triumph for a U.S. Marine veteran.
Yay.
He had been disabled in which Operation Iraqi Freedom. He had extensive damage to one arm and one leg on one side of his body, basically. However, he is ambulatory. He didn't lose a limb, but he is ambulatory. However, still has PTSD. He's going to be disabled for life because he can't physically work very well. What are you giving me this sign here? What does this mean? He went to a national park with a relative in Sequoia National Park, and
that's
used
a nice
his handicap
park.
Placard to park in the handicap lot because he is not in a wheelchair or using braces or whatever. The park ranger told him, "You can't park there." And he said, "I'm using the disabled space," and showed him his placard. And the park ranger said, and it's quoted in the story, "You can't park here. I can see that you're not."
Ooh.
When he said he was disabled.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well,
California.
That's not
how that works. Well, it turned out that the park ranger was saving that space for his coworker who was going to be relieving him in an hour.
Ooh.
Oh, hell no.
Well, my question is, what kind of relief was his coworker going to give him?
So,
you just don't mess with vets like that, man.
And the veteran's name is Dominic Escobel, and he lives in San Diego. He sued the federal government because he pushed the issue. He said, "I absolutely have the right to park here," and the park ranger got so irritated that he called the police and had him arrested. And the Marine kept saying, "But I'm disabled. I can park here." And because of all of that, he ended up getting a disorderly conduct, or what do you call it, disturbing the peace citation. And so he sued the federal government and the Park Service to get his record cleared, get his name cleared, and $250,000. That was all he's asked for. And he won.
Yay.
That's disgusting.
Yeah,
I can't believe that people would even
just
be so selfish. Oh, yeah.
It's California.
So selfish. I don't care where it is, man. That's just selfish.
I got arrested my last DUI by a park ranger. It wasn't pretty.
That was completely valid, though. And we
yeah. Hey, Jeremy, I hate to break this to you, but
I was disabled.
mentally didn't count in that case.
Having a blood alcohol level twice the legal limit doesn't count as disabled.
My car was trashed.
Just like its owner.
Well, he did. The charges were actually dropped almost immediately. However, he wanted them completely removed. Like,
oh yeah,
well,
absolutely,
yeah.
So, wait, was that? I think I miscounted how many stories. 1, 2.
I think you about covered it.
Yep, I think that is it. I got too many. Okay, and that's the end of the boozy news.
Pretty close.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
This is Bruce with Recovery 101 Radio. Recovery 101 Radio is brought to you in part by the new CoolFMOnline.com. Amazing music variety from the 50s through today in pop, rock, country, and more. Download this app to the Google Play or Apple Store by putting in CoolFM Online in the search engine. You can also go to CoolFMOnline.com. Cool classics, hot variety. We're back. And Topic Tara. Actually, that's a horrible nickname.
I don't like Tombstone Tara or Topic Tara, to tell you the truth. I'm just
terrible Tara.
Honest. Tara the Terrible.
Snickers Tara now.
Terrible. Man, come on.
I know. I got one for you.
Tara the Pterodactyl.
I was going to say Pterodactyl.
These are all the same nicknames that I've had my whole entire life. They've been really... Yep, yeah, yeah. My maiden name was Moore, so in school they used to tease me because they're always like all the boys would be like, oh, yeah, Tara wants more.
I wonder how you got that nickname. Hey, I knew a girl I knew a girl whose name was literally April May. And the joke was always April May or April May not. It depends on what she likes. Yeah. So
funny.
So we have a topic.
So witty.
I have a dog trying to climb in my lap.
Yes, we have a topic. So Shelley was talking actually about hearing in meetings a lot.
Yes. Lately in meetings and in some of my online groups, I've been hearing a recurrence. Oh, sorry, I kicked somebody. A recurrence of the, I just need to be strong. I need willpower. And every time somebody says that in a meeting, I sit there and say, no, you're completely wrong. And exactly. I can't say anything because I've already either shared or it would sound really bad because I'd be like, you're wrong.
Bossy McBossy pants.
And it would come out all wrong, so I don't say anything.
It's actually exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing. So we're calling this topic, Willpower is Not Enough.
True.
Because
true.
It's not.
And that's the big book says.
Yes, that's what the big book says. So for me, it's pretty cut and dry, because I was always taught that I couldn't do it by myself. I wasn't strong enough, and I've got to have a power that's bigger than me.
It says point blank, you can't do this on willpower alone.
Right, right.
Right. Well, and the other, it goes along with the sentiment, I can fight this. And it says in the big book, we have ceased fighting everything and everyone we have to, or it kills us. Mm-hmm. And that always bothers me because it's usually said by the same people that rotate in and out and in and out and in and out of the program. Because they haven't gotten that. And I didn't get it either. The whole concept of surrender, I didn't get it for my first few weeks either. I was like, so what do you do to surrender? How do you do that?
Third step prayer.
Well, I was actually sitting in a meeting when I finally, light dawned on Marblehead and I got the concept. I understood the concept of falling back on a higher power instead of my own will. But that doesn't mean I do it perfectly.
No, of course not. But
or even
like,
most of the time.
But I think that there's...
when it comes to alcohol, I have.
There comes a point when you have that epiphany and you're like, you know what? I can't do this by myself. I've tried to do it over and over and over again or whatever, you know? And it's like, I can't do it alone. I don't want to do it alone. And I don't have to do it alone. So instead of like... fighting the undertow, just take a big breath and float. Stop fighting it, because the message is consistent. The message is find a higher power that's greater than you, use that, rely on that, and turn everything over. You have to have the spiritual experience if you want to, do the deal and be happy, joyous, and free.
Well, let me throw in the old timer opinion here. So this is real, and you guys may not, but I'm sure in every area, back in the day, like when I first got sober, when Shelley was hanging out with her dad at meetings, it's like I remember meetings at our local club that if someone said that, in a heartbeat, an old timer would just chime right in and go, shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. That's completely wrong.
I miss the old days.
And you know what? The program's been kind of wimping out, It's like, because usually someone would jump right up and just shred the guy saying it. And they'd say, look, they'd tread him a little bit and then he'd be like, I need to talk to you after this meeting, because that ain't the way this thing works.
Well, and see what I'm used to, like, whenever I got into recovery 4 years ago almost, and I was in Columbus, Ohio, they still do a lot of that, like, old school recovery. and they will shut you down, you know, and they might not stop you like in the middle of your comment, but the best believe the next person that comments after you is going to be an old timer and they're going to say, you know what, that's just ridiculous because this is what the book says and this is how we do it, and that's why we see people in and out of these rooms all the time, not pointing any fingers, but you know, like, that's, you're wrong.
Well, and so, and Shelly,
you suck.
Shelly's kind of wimping out because we were in this meeting one time, this Cocaine Anonymous meeting, and there was this guy, and holy crap, this guy started talking about how great smoking rock cocaine was. And Shelly and former show host Mark couldn't wait to be the next person to just lay this guy out. I mean, you remember that, Shelly?
Oh yeah, because I had to talk. I had to jump over him to talk first, and I think I said something like, "You know, excuse the profanity," but I think what I said was, "I ain't going to your fucking funeral." I mean, I was like, "We don't talk like that. You want people going out? It'll be your fault." I mean, I was, and it's not really. I know.
Oh yeah,
it's
she
not,
does.
But I just laid into him for like 30 seconds, and then I said, "Okay, Mark," and like he went.
Yeah, they just like took him to task. But see, what the point I was making though is, here you have people, and they're like, "Oh, you know, oh, I don't have enough willpower." It's like.
I know, and I should be speaking out.
You have God's permission to jump their shit.
I feel like a lot of meetings now that have been started have deterred away from the traditions altogether, because you'll get a lot of nonsense rambling, and it doesn't even focus on the 12 steps at all. I mean,
or the solution. Right, it's all a bunch of whining.
Some of the first meetings that I went to, I actually had my sponsor tell me after I was sat there, and, you know, I spoke, probably shouldn't even spoke because he told me I shouldn't have after. He said, "You need to just shut up and sit down and listen." But I was like, "This sounds like it's pretty cut and dry. All you got to do is just follow the program and do what it says, and everything will be all right, you know?"
Mm-hmm.
It's said that.
I'm telling you, it's like once you get it.
Yeah, but that's actually really true.
Right, it is. Yeah.
Like once you get it, it seems kind of silly because I've got a great forgetter, right? And that's why I still come to meetings. That's why
selective memory.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No. I've got a quick forgetter. Like for real. Like it doesn't even matter what the topic is. I find myself forgetting stupid, trivial information all the time.
Do you remember when they told you that weed would destroy your short-term memory, and you said, "That's bullshit. Where are my keys?"
No. Actually, I don't. But on a serious note, I mean. You know, I feel like we hear the same thing, right, in meetings. The message is always the same. The solution is always the same, right? We always have to do the same five things. But, like, there are people like me who do forget that. And so that's why we go to meetings all the freaking time and hear the same stuff beat into our heads day in and day out. Because we all have quick forgetters.
True.
But it's the same thing.
It's like the one we had a speaker last month who said, and I totally agree with this, it's not my program, it's not your program, it's the program.
Right.
And it seems like we get a lot of that individualism, which is what killed us in the first place, because we were all unique.
Terminally unique in Tombstone.
Exactly.
So let me ask you this, because believe it or not, we blazed right through our time. So, Shelly, what would your final words on this subject be?
Oh my God!
You smoke too much weed. You smoke too much weed, Shelly.
No, this allergy attack is. I'm sitting here going,
"What's going on?
When can we turn off the thing so I can sneeze?" All I'm focused on is getting to when I can sneeze. I'm trying not to sneeze. If I had to go on this, you know, I have a lot of willpower when it comes to other things, like putting this house together. I was single-minded for like 4 days trying to get boxes unpacked. It's still not done, but I got a lot done. However. If I wake up every morning and I say, "I'm not going to drink today," and I'm drinking again, and I did that for 6 months, I ain't got any willpower when it comes to that. And if I'm going to rely on my willpower when it comes to that, I'm going to be dead.
So, Jeremy, what are your final words?
Yeah, you can't live on, you can't do this thing on willpower alone. That's just, you have to focus on the program. You know, I try to use willpower all the time, but it always gets in my way, man. Like, I'll be just like Shelly, doing one project for days on end and forget about everything else, and then...
Oh, like a meth head.
Yeah.
And never getting it done. Tara.
Yeah, so kind of like Shelly was talking about, like, I'm really task-oriented. If I have something ahead of me that needs to be done, I can do that. But if the task that's supposed to be ahead of me is self-care... For some reason, like because of my disease, my brain wants to kill me. And so when it comes to self-care, that's the one thing that I'm not task-oriented enough to be able to do consistently. That's why I need this program. That's the one thing I can't do by myself is take care of me, because the disease tells me that I'm not good enough and that I'm not worthy of that self-care, you know? And that's, for me, kind of what it comes down to. So I can't, he can, I'll let him, the end.
My final words would be, there is a God and you're not him.
Right.
Or her.
Him.
Yeah, or it.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
And take care of you.
If you keep doing what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always had.
And you don't have to fuck shit up no more.
So much.